The Jeff Blair Show, the Jeff Blair himself, joins us from St. Petersburg, Tampa Bay. Hey, Jeff, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Great, thanks.
Thanks for jumping on for us. Real quick, a couple questions before we jump into some serious Blue Jays talk. Number one, did Mike Wilner bring lunch cakes into the broadcast booth last night?
Mike Wilner brought nothing into the broadcast.
Are you serious?
It was so bad. It was so bad that I had to go down in the sixth inning and get a hot dog.
Wow. I saw him tweet, like, he went to a donut place and he didn't bring anything up to the broadcast booth.
He did not bring anything up to the broadcast. I apologize. There's a very low-flying helicopter just going over. Anyhow, no, he did not bring anything into the broadcast, which I took as a huge insult because I know if Wagner was there, he would. He brought no treats. I mean, I was told there was going to be candy and stuff because there always is candy and stuff when Mike's involved. There's nothing.
Wow.
Unless he just hoarded it and didn't give it to me.
Well,
I was going to say, he probably changed his tune just because it was you.
That's a possibility. Hey, the announced attendance last night at the Trop was just over 10,000. There's no way there was 10,000 people there, right?
No, I think there was. Yeah, I mean,
really?
There were, I mean, they were really spread out. But, you know, I mean, and especially now in Major League Baseball is actually announcing gate attendance. They don't announce tickets sold. So it's actually folks in the stands. I mean, it was a quiet crowd, but yeah, it was about 10,000.
You've been to many.
I mean, I've been in this park before, and I've seen crowds. I know there was one game a couple of years ago when the Jays were here in September. I think they had 8,000, and I would say there was about 10.
You've been to many ballparks in the major leagues of baseball. Where does that one rank as the worst?
It's not close. I mean, I hate Fenway Park. It's like I always say, it's the world's largest open urinal, which it is. Plus, it's full of Bostonians, which is another reason to hate the place because they are the lowest of the low. Wrigley Field's great if you're 22 years old and are living off daddy's money. It's a great place to go and be a yuppie. But other than that, it's another place that kind of smells bad. I'd put Wrigley Field and Fenway behind the Trop. But keep in mind, this is somebody coming from somebody who spent 5, 6, 7 years going to Olympic Stadium. So I have seen and I have sat in the crappiest stadium of all time.
I was going to say, I don't know what that says about me because I loved Wrigley.
St. Pete is a cool place. Yeah, but I mean, people do tend to love Wrigley. I just don't.
Fair.
I'm different that way. I look for different things in a ballpark.
All right. Well, let's talk about this Jays team for a second because they're now 30 and 36, and they just rattled off 4 wins in a row before dropping one to Tampa. And I'm wondering if this kind of stretch, pulling them 6 games within 500, is giving the fans new hope, even though it probably shouldn't because of the team that they beat, the Orioles, who have 19 wins. Or is this something that at this point is just inevitable? We are selling, and the Blue Jays are looking to make the best deals that they can for their future.
Yeah, I don't think anything could possibly happen over the next month that would get the Blue Jays back in the race or make this season about anything other than selling off players. I mean, they're way out, 12.5 of the wild card or something like that, and we're in, June 8th, June 9th, whatever it is. But they're just not going to make that up. The problem in baseball right now is there's about, at least in the American League, there's about 5 really good teams, and all those teams are going to make the playoffs, and there's such a big gap between them and everybody else that it's not going to be made up. So, I mean, I'll tell you the truth, sweeping the Orioles, I didn't read anything into that other than the fact that the Jays are good enough to beat a team that's quitting its manager and is quitting each other. And I think you saw against the Rays last night, a team that can't score runs, but a team that's starting to bring up its future already in Willie Adames and Jake Bowers, who's going to be a terrific player. I mean, you saw the difference when the Jays went up a team that actually gave a damn about what it was doing on the field. And, this is still a team that has a bunch of guys. Shouldn't say a bunch of guys. It has a few guys playing out of position. And it's got, 4 or 5 hitters hitting below 200. And again, we're in June already. You're hitting below 200 in June. You stink. And that's not going to get, I don't I don't have any expectations that there's going to be a great turnaround there.
After the way things have gone, is there any way that when players start understanding that management is looking to sell off assets, that they're hoping they're the ones so they can play meaningful baseball down the stretch? Or is it more of an imposition to have to move and relocate, as George mentioned?
Yeah, no, I'm a player. Players don't care about trades. If you're making $12 million a year, and you got to understand, you're making $12 million a year. You're not, it's not like you're calling Bob the Movers and having them come into your house and having to hold, an open house to sell your place. Most of these guys live in condos. There's no move involved. I don't even know how many Blue Jays have a house in Toronto. So, if you've got a downtown condo and, your family's probably at home in Florida or Arizona or whatever, the dislocation is absolutely minimal. And I think most of these guys are aware of what's up with this team. I think they're aware of the plans for this team going forward. And I think a lot of these guys are well aware that what they're doing in the next 3 weeks is they're playing up their trade value. And guys, whenever, I think especially baseball players, because it's such a day-to-day thing, whenever an athlete says, well, we understand it's a business, these guys really do understand it's a business. So I've never put any stock in the whole, oh my God, a guy's going to be distracted because he's going to be traded. Because if you're a good player, you're not going to a bad team. If anything, you're going to be traded to a contending team. So, it's not like if you're Jay Happ, you're going to be traded to a team that's worse than the Blue Jays.
Jeff Blair joining us on The Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm George. That's Ashley. Blair, I was listening. I was thinking about this on the way in, and I want to get your opinion on this because we all know, now it's sell, 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 blow up the team. But heading in the winter here, we know that the general manager and Mark Shapiro said, let's give it one more time. Ross and Mark, let's give it one more chance here if we can be competitive. And we all talked about all the ifs on this team. If the starting pitching does well, if they stay healthy, if Josh Donaldson, there was a ton of ifs, and now everything is just caving in on itself. Did they misread this team? Because when you look around the division, especially the acquisition of Stanton in New York, the Yankees are going to be a powerhouse, and the Red Sox we're going to be a powerhouse. So they have started blowing this thing up in the winter when guys had a lot more trade value than maybe right now, and they misread where this team was heading into 2018?
No, I don't think so. I don't think anybody anticipated that the closer would miss a whole bunch of time in a domestic violence charge. I don't know how one would plan for that. The industry thought that this was one of the best starting rotations in baseball. That's everybody. You can't blow up a baseball team that has Troy Tulowitzki making $22 million a year or whatever the hell it is over the next 4 years. You just can't. You got that contract, and you have to manage your contractual situation with that deal and with Russ Martin's deal. So, if the Jays didn't have those two contracts, I think Mark Shapiro's default position, he would have blown this sucker up the year that he got here. I have no doubt about that. They can't do that now. And what I think they're doing is, I think the rebuild has started. And Teoscar Hernandez is going to be part of this team when Vladimir Guerrero is here. Stroman, Sanchez, they're going to be around. I think Randall Grichuk's probably good enough to be a fourth outfielder. If he's healthy, Devin Travis will be part of the equation, but I don't necessarily expect that. But in the minor leagues, a bunch of guys who started the year at Double A are progressing to Triple A, including starting pitchers. So that's how a rebuild happens in baseball. You don't get 8 first round draft picks and throw them into your lineup the next year. The rebuild includes getting guys into the minor league system and getting them on their path of progression. And so I think the Jays have started their rebuild. I think they started their rebuild a couple of years ago. And, we just haven't seen it yet at the major league level. But there was no point in blowing this team up, if you want to use the phrase blowing this team up, at the start of the year. You just couldn't.
Jeff, we talked to Pat Tabler yesterday, and I asked him if there's any untouchables on this team. And that includes Stroman and Sanchez. And he said no. Outside of the stuff that's on the farm, are there any untouchables on this team?
I don't think they're ever going to trade Aaron Sanchez. I think Aaron Sanchez is going to be the ace of the staff going forward for a variety of reasons. One, I think the organization really likes him. I think if he's healthy, I think they'll trade Marcus Stroman this year. I'm absolutely convinced of that. I'm 100% convinced that the Jays would actively consider trading Marcus Stroman. I think they're tired of him, and I think that they could probably get something in return for Marcus Stroman. But other than that, no. And if someone blew their socks off for Sanchez, they would certainly consider it. But I don't think right now that they view Aaron Sanchez as anything other as their ace going forward. I think there's a lot of respect in the organization for the way he's managed his injuries. And I'll tell you, I don't think he's fully healthy right now. And, you know, I don't know if there's any one particular injury or anything, but I don't think he's anywhere close to 100% healthy. And, you know, he's taking the ball every 5 days, and yeah, he hasn't been great, but the stuff is still there. So he to me is the guy that you hang on to, and anybody else in that team. You know, maybe the interesting guy and the guy we overlook a little bit is Justin Smoke. Justin Smoke is on a reasonable contract. He plays terrific defense, and he's a guy that you can stick in the middle of your order as a switch hitter, and he's going to be productive. I'm not certain they're in a real rush to trade him. I think they realize that even if Vladdy Jr. ultimately has to move to first base, and I don't think there's any way in hell that he's an everyday third baseman in the majors. I think you'll eventually see him at first. I think they realize that Justin Smoke at first base right now and at first base next year and maybe at the start of the next season is a valuable commodity for this team.
Just to go back to what you said about Stroman and them potentially moving him because they're sick of him, he would obviously bring back in something that's extremely notable, and the Blue Jays would seemingly be able to dictate the terms of that trade. So what do you think that they would be looking for in terms of position? Would it be coming a pitcher back, maybe a package? But the main piece that they would get in return, what do you think would be their target?
Well, I mean, Marcus Stroman has to be healthy first. Sure. If he's not healthy and if he doesn't put together a month of starts, you're not going to get, you're not going to get equivalent value for Marcus Stroman, because I think the industry's a little concerned about him. If you're the Jays, you need a closer at some point, because Roberto Osuna is never going to pitch for you again. So, and you don't have anybody in the minor leagues who kind of profiles as that. I mean, maybe Nate Pearson at some point, but I think they still like him too much as a starter. So you've got to add a closer. You've got to, even with Vladdy Jr. and Bo Bichette and all these young players coming up, Kevin Biggio is a guy everybody's excited about. He's also a guy that a lot of people in the minor leagues don't think is going to hit for much power at the major league level. So you still have to add some position players here. What I'd like to see them get, and I know I sound like Kevin Barker saying this, I'd like to see them get a guy who profiles as a leadoff hitter. And when I say bona fide leadoff hitter, I don't mean a guy who's 5'11", 185 pounds, and is going to steal a ton of bags. But I think they need somebody kind of like that at the top of the order. And typically that's going to be an outfielder or middle infielder type guy.
Jeff, we know Vladdy Jr. was at the drop. Did you get a chance to see him? Did you talk to him or his interpreter yesterday?
Yeah, it was weird. Nobody knew he was going to show up. And he's behind a rope with fans during BP. And he's got a visitor's pass on. And I'm thinking, dude, you're the best minor league player in baseball. You pick up the phone and say, hey, can I come down to the clubhouse? And it's the oddest thing I've ever seen, because we've seen it in the past. You know, the Dunedin, where he's rehabbing, is just about a half-hour drive, depending on traffic from here. Come down, be in the clubhouse. You're not going to be in uniform for the game, obviously, but hang around the players. Mark Stroman did that. You know, Steve Pearce was here yesterday. There may be an honest-to-God Choi Tulowitzki sighting at some point in these next 2 days. But I just found it odd that, you know, here's Vladimir Guerrero Jr. surrounded by his, I don't know, entourage, whatever you want to call it, and he's behind a rope at batting practice. It was strange. And I don't know what it says that the best minor league prospect in baseball shows up at a game and the team doesn't actually, is a little surprised that he's there or doesn't allow for him to be in the clubhouse. It was really weird.
Even if they didn't know he was coming and you see him, you're like, oh, come on over. Welcome into the fold. Stay behind the rope because you didn't let us know you were showing up.
Yeah, it was strange. And now he had a visitor's pass. So obviously somebody knew he was going to show up. Sure. But I mean, come on. If you're the best prospect in baseball,
right,
and you're the organization's best prospect in baseball, I would think you could probably, bring the dude into the clubhouse, as I said, and let him hang around, let him watch batting practice or whatever.
Swing a tour, George.
Yeah, that's super weird. The reason why I'm asking you that is I think something that's come up about Vladdy Jr. here, and I think it's a legitimate concern, is his girth, Jeff, because I know Chris, mm-hmm. I talked about this with Chris LaRue. He goes, listen, the food in Major League Baseball is plentiful and delicious. Like, is his weight potentially got to be something we need to be concerned about? Because when you look at his dad didn't look like that. His dad stole over 40 bases in the big leagues. He looks like a guy, and you said there's no way in hell this guy's going to play third. He looks like a first baseman. Is that the only thing we should worry about with Vlad Jr., that he needs to control that a little bit? Or could that change him as a player? Because I don't know. We see guys like CeCe Sabathia lost all that weight, and I know pitching's different. And then he says, I'm not a good pitcher when I'm thin. I got to eat the Captain Crunch a box a day to get back to being CeCe Sabathia. He did. Is weight potentially an issue with this guy?
I mean, people in the minor leagues, people in other organizations will tell you that that's kind of the one drawback, if you want to call it that, to Vladdy. I mean, Vladdy Sr. varied early in his career. I mean, I saw all his early games, and he was not always an Adonis. I mean, he was never as round in the middle as his son is. But Vladdy's body went through some interesting changes the older he got. And think about, first of all, he was thinner. To my eye, he looked a lot thinner than he was in spring training. He looked a little more mature. His body looked a little more mature. But having said that, this is a guy who's probably right now 245, 250 pounds. He's got a knee injury. All those weight-bearing areas, you do tend to worry about that with a big guy. I mean, I'm hoping you're not looking at another Pablo Sandoval situation, and I don't think you are, but one of the things that does happen in the major leagues, and maybe I differ with Chris a little bit on this, the food's better, but, you've also got access to much better training facilities. You've got a much more regimented program than you have in the minors. Travel is better, so you're getting more rest. Typically, that means that it's easier to maintain, to maintain your shape. You look at his body type and you've got to think if not a concern, at least something that the Jays are always going to be monitoring. But I'll just say, seriously, to the naked eye, my first reaction, I know Wilner and I talked about this in the broadcast, my first reaction was this guy's a lot thinner than the guy I saw in spring training, like noticeably thinner.
Well, that's good news if it's going to help his durability for sure. I did want to talk to you before we let you go, Jeff, about an article that you wrote about a day ago on sportsnet.ca talking about Marco Estrada and his trade value. And one of the things that you had pointed out was that kind of Russ Martin and him blew up the pitching plan and decided to go a different direction. And that may have been leading to his more successful starts recently. And I'm just wondering if you can kind of go through what the major changes that you've seen in his game recently.
Well, the biggest changes that I've noticed is just instead of going fastball change all the time, he is throwing four pitches now. He's throwing his cutter, and everybody knows what his stuff looks like, but I think as Marco said, he kind of got the impression that guys had basically narrowed him down to fastball location and changeup, and he's just. And what you want to do is just put a thought in the hitter's head that, I may not be seeing those two pitches.
Mm-hmm.
And I think more than anything else, that's what he's done. And, it's kind of interesting because people need to remember him. There was a real, at one point, if you remember, Marco Estrada, I don't know if he ever came out and said he preferred pitching to Dion or Navarro. Mm-hmm. But, I remember writing a whole bunch of stories about how these two guys were always on the same page. And, how these two guys had this kind of unspoken understanding of how a game was going to be called. I think Marco can be kind of not a difficult guy to work with because I think he's a real easygoing guy. I think at this stage of his career, he really does need somebody to nurse them through some of those starts. And essentially, that's what they've done. And one of the things Ross Martin's really good at, and that's why I think that there's some value to that contract, is when he zeroes in on his pitcher, when he zeroes in on helping his pitcher, he's one of the more creative game callers in the game. And I think that's going to be a huge asset for this organization next year as you see guys like Ryan Brocky come up. So I still think Russ Martin will have some utility for him.
He's the host of the Jeff Blair Show. You read him on sportsnet.ca. He does a podcast with Stephen Brunt, the lead, and he's doing color tonight with Mike Wilner on the broadcast. Blue Jays and Rays, 7 o'clock right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Jeff Blair. Jeff, thanks for doing this, pal.
Yeah, no problem. You got me upset now about the lunch cakes thing.
I'm sorry. Like you got to let us know if he does bring something, because America is plentiful with deliciousness, especially on the lunch cake side of things.
Yeah, all that fake sugary stuff.
Yeah, it's the best. It's horrible for you, but yeah, it is the best.
Please send us a tweet later updating if he brought snacks or not.
Yeah, because usually he is a snacker.
I will.
This is the most important thing that's
happening. Because if you get snacky doing the broadcast, you got to have something. Thanks for doing this.
All right, take care, guys.
There he goes.